Gubernatorial candidate Glenn Youngkin joins us today. Last week, we started our discussion on the Virginia economy and its impact on real estate. There is so much vital information to discuss about the economy, it takes two shows to cover it all. Welcome, Mr. Youngkin. Thank you for joining the Real Estate Show to complete our discussion on the Virginia economy and its impact on real estate.
Virginia's strongest category has been education, where it finishes a close second to perennial leader Massachusetts. What would you do to promote education in Virginia?
Well, we have great higher education in Virginia. I am incredibly concerned about our K through 12 and our early education opportunities. And we're seeing Virginia, in fact, fail our children right now. And while my opponent was governor, he didn't like the fact that 88 schools failed to be accredited in Virginia. And so rather than go to work and fix them, he just lowered the standards so not one would fail. And he lowered the standards for our children to progress from grade to next. And today, Virginia's ranked 50th. We are ranked 50th in standards for our kids in reading and in math. And that has translated, these low expectations has translated into poor performance. And we saw earlier this year, test scores were literally over, we had 55% of white children in Virginia could not pass an eighth grade math equivalency test. And over 70% of Latino children and over 80% of black children couldn't pass an eighth grade math equivalency test. Now, the gap between those numbers is horrific and unacceptable. The absolute magnitude of the numbers are shocking to the conscience. And we've got to go to work in order to invest in our school system. And we're letting our kids down. So on day one, first of all, we're going to make sure our schools are never closed again. Our kids, in fact, suffered mightily by having our schools closed, not just academically, but also from a mental health standpoint. Second thing we're going to do is we, in fact, are going to raise standards again, raise expectations for our children, and then we're going to invest heavily. I will preside over the largest education budget in the history of Virginia. We're going to invest in teacher salaries. We're going to invest in numbers of teachers. We're going to invest in facilities. We have crumbling facilities around Virginia. And we're going to invest in our special education programs because they are so needing incremental investment. And then we're going to hold schools accountable for delivering results. We're going to go work with those that are really struggling, but we have got to expect excellence and hold our school system to delivering it. I also believe that Virginia has suffered mightily because we have not offered choice within the public school system in the form of charter schools. Virginia has 8 charter schools. North Carolina has 190. Maryland has 140. Virginia has 8. So we're going to press forward aggressively with an innovation charter school initiative to launch 20 charter schools in the first year. And we're going to build on that and close this gap so that Virginia families within the public school system have choice whether they want their children to go to their local junior high school or elementary school, or do they want to send them to the charter school. We're going to do this differently than schools have been done in charter schools. We're going to partner with local universities. We're going to partner with businesses. So get ready, business listeners. I'm going to come see you about helping us create curricula and providing incremental funding to support kids learning the skills they need so they can be college ready or career ready and move right into a vocational training field or a credentialing program so they can come to work and have a great career in the growing environment of Virginia jobs. And then finally, Lewis, we've got to get to work on the curriculum. I am terribly concerned that we have lost our way and allowed a political agenda into our classroom. And I think critical race theory doesn't have any place in our schools. We're forcing our kids to view everything through a lens of race. And we've forgotten Dr. Martin Luther King's great words, where we should actually judge one another based on the content of our character as opposed to the color of our skin. And so we're going to teach real history. We're not going to airbrush away anything. But we also have to let our children understand that the job of schools is to teach them how to think, not what to think. And so they can dream their biggest dreams. And we do not want to suppress those dreams at all. We want our kids to run as fast as they can so they can become whoever they're ordained and want to become.
Well, that's very exciting, but troubling. You said Virginia is 50th, 5-0. How many states are there?
We are ranked 50th in standards for math and English. We're the only one that gets below grade ratings in math. I mean, it is just not right for us not to have high expectations for our kids. Our schools used to be a reason people would move to Virginia. And now we've seen massive movements out of the public schools into homeschooling, into private schools. And I actually spoke to a couple in, in Fairfax who moved to Northern Virginia for the schools and now are so worried the schools aren't going to deliver what they need for their young girl that they're contemplating moving away because they can't afford the private schools in the high cost environment in Northern Virginia. This is what we're seeing. And I'm going to go to work on day one with my day one game plan to get Virginia schools reestablishing expectations of excellence so we can deliver for our kids.
That is terrible. We need science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM jobs. Those are the jobs of, those are the skills that are needed for the jobs of the future. And you're an engineer, correct? You have an engineering degree.
I am. I am an engineer. I believe in science. And I believe that our children need to be prepared to do the jobs of the future. And so we're going to have to overhaul curriculum and get them prepared. But I can't wait to get, I cannot wait to get started on day one to start delivering for Virginia's kids, as opposed to my opponent's academic philosophy, which seems to be to leave every child behind. But we're going to lift up all Virginia's kids and get them moving.
That's very interesting. You're not a lawyer or a career politician. That's different.
No, Lewis, I'm a business guy who knows how to get things done. And I believe in real people time, not government time, and we're going to go get things done.
I'm a little worried because take Amazon's East Coast headquarters in Northern Virginia. That's reliant on Virginia Tech coming in and creating a great educational system. Now I'm worried that the primary schools are not going to keep up.
But Lewis, we've also got another challenge in Virginia in that we're ranked 49th right now as best place to start business. 49th. The only place worse is Connecticut. And so we've also 49th? Lost our 49th, and we've lost our innovation edge. So we're just not innovating in Virginia, and that's why I really am excited about what Virginia Tech is doing with their innovation campus in Crystal City. But we have to fundamentally rethink what we're doing in order to stoke innovation in Virginia. And this is part of my Jumpstart Jobs program. We need to have accelerators that are near our college campuses to help intellectual property transfer to become commercial businesses. We need to have better, much better capital formation. We need to have venture, much, much better defined venture funds and better formed growth capital and investment funds across Virginia. We have to really, really stoke our banking system so that funds are available. And we have to make it easier to start a business and be here, as opposed to the number of unicorns that we read about and see that are actually Virginians that have done it, but they've just gone other places to do it because Virginia is not good at supporting new businesses. So we're gonna foster 10,000 new startups while I'm governor, 10,000. And we're gonna put together a jobs program that's gonna allow Virginia to create 400,000 jobs over 4 years. 10,000 new startups, 400,000 jobs. And I just want to let you know that I know exactly how to do this. We're going to stoke this economy. We are going to absolutely reinvigorate our job machine and get Virginia moving.
That is very exciting and leads me to a question about roads and infrastructure. What are we going to do about our roads and our traffic and our bridges?
So we need to invest. And I think one of the biggest challenges that Virginia has is connectivity. And Lewis, it starts with high-speed internet access to all of Virginia. And in my Invest in All Virginia plans, where I think we should use the money that's being sent to Virginia from the federal government, I called for $700 million to be invested in completing, lighting up all of Virginia with high-speed internet access. My opponent has been talking about this since before he was governor, and he didn't deliver. He's full of really, you know, high promises and low delivery. And we're gonna go get this done. So the money is there. We're gonna use all technical capabilities. Yes, I believe in dropping fiber because it's the most reliable, but I also think that we can use low Earth orbit satellite technology in order to connect the hard to reach places. And we in fact are gonna enable Virginians across the entire Commonwealth to connect in for education, for jobs, and just to regain control over their personal lives with information access. That's big job number one. But while we're connecting Virginia digitally, we also need to connect Virginia physically. We've got to continue to invest in our road infrastructure. We've got to continue to invest in our port. We have an opportunity for Virginia's port to be the most important competitive advantage across the entire Commonwealth. We're going to have the deepest port access on the East Coast. but we also have to bring manufacturing to Virginia. We have absolutely failed miserably in bringing the kind of manufacturing jobs to Virginia that our peer states to the south of us have been able to do. And that will transform our port from simply being a port where raw materials come in and finished goods go out, but they're actually manufactured someplace else, to a port where we bring in raw materials, we manufacture here in Virginia, and then we send away finished goods, and we actually own the entire value add system. This is the future of our port, and this is why it's so important to us to continue to invest in our port and make sure that it is the strategic asset that Virginia needs to grow our entire economy.
Well, that's really exciting for the real estate business. More music for my ears. That is wonderful. So bottom line, which candidate would be better for the economy in an election that's likely to pit the northern suburbs against rural areas? Voters will decide which candidate is better equipped to keep Virginia on top. Mr. Youngkin, this has been a very interesting discussion. Very exciting. Please summarize for our audience why you're the better candidate to keep Virginia on top as America's number one state for business.
Well, Lewis, I want to first thank you for having me, and I want to thank all of your listeners for joining us today. We have a big decision to make in Virginia, and Virginians will choose a new governor. I think the future of Virginia will actually be defined by this race. How do we get our economy moving? How do we turn our job machine on? How do we get our cost of living down so that Virginians will stay here versus moving away? Also, how do we make sure our communities are safe? I've had 50 sheriffs endorse me as their candidate to help them keep Virginia communities safe. And we're going to go get government to work for Virginians as opposed to telling us what to do. And I can't wait to go get working on the DMV and the Virginia Employment Commission and introduce a concept called customer service. But Lewis, Customer service and state government, Lewis. I believe this is a time for a different kind of governor. My opponent has been a political operative for 43 years. He had his turn as governor and he didn't deliver. And now he's asking for Virginians to hire him again when he didn't deliver last time. And I'm a different kind of candidate. I'm a business leader. I know how to build business. I know how to create jobs. I know how to deliver results. And I cannot wait to go work for all Virginians. And so I ask everyone, hire me. Hire me to be the next governor of Virginia, and I will work harder and smarter for Virginians than any governor ever has. But I'm going to go to work for all Virginians to make Virginia the best place in America to live and work and raise a family. So, Lewis, thank you for letting me join you this morning. And I so look forward to going to work for all Virginians as the 74th governor of Virginia.
That is great, Mr. Youngkin. Thank you for your time today. I know you're busy on the campaign trail. We wish you the best of luck on November the 2nd. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Please vote early, everybody.
Virginia is back. Virginia is well represented on the Fortune 500, with 22 companies making the 2021 list. Fortune identifies the 500 largest publicly traded companies in the U.S. by revenue. Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, so-called Freddie Mac, is the top Virginia firm on the 2021 list. 10 of the 22 companies are based in Fairfax County, followed by the Richmond region, with 7 companies headquartered in the city of Richmond or Henrico, Goochland, or Hanover counties. Many companies moved up and some moved down, including Hilton, which suffered major pandemic losses and fell off the list. Yes, Virginia is highly ranked as the number one top state for business, according to CNBC, the focus of our show today. In addition, Virginia is number one for a number of categories: quality of life, cybersecurity jobs, and unmanned aerial systems, drones, a part of the national defense system. The Commonwealth is highly placed on numerous other lists. Key attributes include the third largest port on the East Coast, a varied manufacturing base, an emerging unmanned systems industry, the drones, and finally, the highest concentration of tech workers in the country. That's correct, the highest concentration of tech workers in the country. And that was a part of Amazon's decision to open their East Coast headquarters in Northern Virginia. Geography is also very important. Proximity to the national capital is a positive feature for economic development, defense, and government employment. Yes, location is key. Being at the heart of the Mid-Atlantic region, get this, 40% of the U.S. population is within a day's drive of Richmond, 40%. And the Port of Virginia and the Port of Richmond create significant structural advantages in transportation and logistics. Finally, Virginia enjoys a uniquely low cost of living with an exceptionally high quality of life. Let's get back to the CNBC rankings, Virginia's top five states for business. First, our favorite, Virginia. Second, North Carolina. Third, Utah. That's a surprise. Fourth, Texas. That's not a surprise. And fifth, Tennessee. A little bit of a surprise. As an aside, Capital Square is bullish on Virginia. Obviously, our headquarters is in Richmond, plus North Carolina, Texas, and Tennessee. In fact, we are completing our fifth multifamily acquisition in Tennessee. Key industries, Virginia is blessed with a diverse industrial base. For example, I'll bet you didn't know that the Commonwealth is home to the largest data center market in the U.S. That's right, the largest data center market in the U.S. And this drives the economy. Capital Square has acquired a number of multifamily properties in Northern Virginia markets with strong occupancy and rent growth, due in large part to data centers and technology. Let's just take a minute and talk about Loudoun County. Loudoun County is leading the nation. Loudoun's data centers are home to more than 3,500 technology companies housed within the centers. Get this, more than 25 million square feet of data centers are currently operational, with another 4 million in development. Data centers and the data center ecosystem provide more than 12,000 jobs in Loudoun County. And there's not a single day without a data center construction in Loudoun in more than 13 years. That's amazing. Loudoun County's Data Center Alley is the world's largest concentration of data centers. That's right, the world's largest concentration of data centers in Northern Virginia, Loudoun County, with more than 25 million square feet currently in operation and millions more planned or developed. Much of the world's internet traffic passes through Loudoun's digital infrastructure, and that makes Loudoun and Virginia a key player in the world's technology economy. And that is amazing. Now back to CNBC's rankings. To rank America's top states, CNBC scored all 50 states on 85 metrics in 10 broad categories of competitiveness. Each category is weighted based on how frequently states use them as a selling point in economic development. That way, the study ranks the states based on the attributes they use to sell themselves. That makes sense. And it's mostly good news for Virginia, but not entirely, as Mr. Youngkin will discuss. So Virginia's first, category one, cost of doing business. We're 26th. That's terrible. Infrastructure, 24th. Not so good. Life, health, and inclusion, 11th. Workforce, 3. That's good. Economy, 13. Some good, some not so good, as Mr. Youngkin will discuss. North Carolina, a little better in terms of cost of doing business, a little better in infrastructure, but worse in the other three categories, life, health, and inclusion, workforce, and the economy. How about Texas? They are strong competition in economic development, and they are number one in workforce. And Tennessee. Tennessee is moving up. They're number two in terms of the economy. And a little bit of a surprise, Florida, a big economic engine and great competition, only 17th, surprisingly. Their life, health, and inclusion is 40th. That's pretty bad. Now, taxes are a big deal, and Virginia has modest state income taxes. Many of Capital Square's favorite states for real estate investments have no state income tax at all. Texas, Tennessee, Florida, that's right, no state income tax. They have other taxes, but not income taxes. That makes Texas, Tennessee, and Florida excellent states for real estate investments. This is Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square Realty Advisors. Thank you for joining today's episode of The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. It has been a record year at Capital Square. In just the first half of the year, Capital Square acquired $565 million of real estate for 1031 exchange, DST programs, Opportunity Zone funds, and the Apartment REIT. The firm will acquire well over $1 billion of real estate this year for investment programs. And several investment programs have been taken full cycle. That is, when their properties have been sold, and many have been sold for record prices. This year has been off the chart for real estate investment in spite of the pandemic. For more information about Capital Square, contact me at lrogers@capitalsquare1031.com or 877-626-1031. Please join me, Lewis Rogers, same time next week when we discuss cutting-edge real estate topics of interest locally and nationally. Invest locally, invest nationally, and invest with Capital Square on a tax advantage basis. Living in the sweet Virginia
breeze. Sweet Virginia breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.